Study. We are here for YOU.
All right. You see it, don't you? You see it first. This kind of night it's going to be. But we praise God for each of you on the call. And those of you who are already on, let us know that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. We'll be in 1 Chronicles. We're going to tackle two chapters tonight, 26 and 27. And most of it has a lot to do with going through the list of names as it relates to the tribes and all of that, Lady Kim. But what we'll do is just go ahead and make our way and see how we get through this whole process. We're certainly grateful for how God has just continued to bless us and how he sustained us in the midst of everything that we are going through. And we give God the glory and the honor for allowing us to be a part of what he's doing in the earth realm. And we're fortunate and we're blessed that God chose us. We're chosen. Matter of fact, I might pull that back out. That's something registered in my spirit when I said that. But we are chosen, and we have to acknowledge the fact that God has bestowed favor upon us. And so we're grateful and we're humbled that God included us in what he's trying to get done. And so let us know you're getting a good signal as we prepare tonight. Somebody said we're getting a good signal.
Yes, on the streaming end, we're getting a good signal. Thank you, Sister Gigi.
Okay, all right. Praise God. Well, we're going to be in chapter 26 and 27 tonight of 1 Chronicles. We're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. And then reminded now, if you have prayer requests or things that you want to share, you can go ahead and put them in the box. Lady Kim will be looking, and she will be on alert for those as we close out tonight with prayer. But let's begin by going to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives, and we thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you, dear Lord, for what you are doing and what you've already done, and we thank you for what you will do. And so now, God, even as we have gathered virtually to study your word, we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and that your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we believe that your word is going to accomplish exactly what you have intended for it to accomplish even through this study. And you've already decreed that it would not return unto you void. And so we pray that you will bless each hearer and then the doers of your word,
yes,
even as we gather tonight to study your word, to grow in our faith. So we love you and we honor you. Jesus. Now, God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God, just go ahead and give him a thumbs up or some hearts right there, even as we prepare for this time together. Good to see you tonight, Brother Ryan. Praise God. How's the family? And we thank you for being on tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Give us some hearts or some thumbs up if you're in agreement with that prayer tonight and you believe that you are part of what God is yet doing in the earth realm. What do you have there?
Portia said hello. Good evening.
All right.
All the way from Illinois.
That's good. How you doing?
Ryan is on all the way from Houston, Texas. Rev. John Tunstall is on all the way from Los Angeles, California.
All right.
Amen. We got some states in the house.
That's good. So we praise God for your support and your participation. You could have been doing a whole lot of other things. The Lakers don't come on until tomorrow night, so you don't have to rush to get off to watch the game.
I knew it was coming.
Huh?
I knew it was coming.
What?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, it's just one team. I know the Bulls were trying and the Memphis Grizzlies were too, but that's really not what we came to talk about.
No, it's not. We came to talk about the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. All right.
All right. So we had another exciting day yesterday in worship. It was the fifth Sunday worship service. And I tell you, you know, God has just been kind and just toward us. And so we give God praise for what he's doing at ATOP. We just finished coming off of a Sunday before where we had our feeding program and we went out to for our outreach. And I tell you, it's just amazing how God begins to move and how God begins to supply our needs. And so we're certainly grateful for the support of the volunteers at ATOP as they continue to support the work of the ministry. We have a powerful group of people that God has surrounded us with, Lady Kim, preachers of the gospel and ministers, and our Sunday school is off to a roaring start. It's never stopped, but it just kind of picked up speed as we finished, you know, with our breakfast and reintroducing our Sunday school a couple of weeks ago. And so I'm certainly proud of all of those who work and who share their gifts in the body of Christ called ATOP. And we have Dr. Qualise Seymour, administrative pastor, and Dr. Butler as well as our pastor of congregational care. And then the lady to my right, she is the executive pastor of ATOP, and she looks a little different today because she cleared one of her hurdles last night in terms of the some of the assignments. That it was a 25-page paper.
20 to 25 pages. I came out with 22.
And what was your grade on that?
I got an A.
All right now. Yes. See how she's smiling? She was going through, I'm telling you, burning the midnight oil and getting up early in the morning. But God is faithful, and so we thank God for you. Halfway through now, aren't you, Lady Kim?
Yeah, one more year.
This time next year. I believe that's in the scripture somewhere.
Hallelujah, thank you,
this time
Jesus.
Next year. That yes, sounds God. Like a sermon to me.
Hallelujah.
So we need to go ahead and start planning now for, you already know the dates and everything, or you want to just wait and hold off?
Waiting on that.
Okay, for graduation and everything?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do a big something. I don't know what we're going to do, but it's going to be something coming down this time next year. But we praise God for his keeping power. Let's go ahead and just get a little recap. Good to see each of you on tonight. Let's go ahead and just get a recap of what happened yesterday in the worship experience. And then we'll jump right into this word. We will be in 1 Chronicles, the 26th chapter and the 27th chapter tonight.
Amen. All right, so yesterday it was another exciting time in the worship service as you preach from Are You Still Listening? Yeah. Are you still listening? From Revelations, the 3rd chapter, just 2 verses 20 through 22, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Mm-hmm. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Okay. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto the church." And so Paul in this, it was Paul. In this particular writing to the seven churches of Asia Minor, God had given him specific instructions in terms of what he needed to share with them. And then he gave them the answers to what they needed in order to improve and work on their situations. Okay. And so we kind of gave just a brief introduction about what those particular churches were charged with and what they were lacking and what they needed. But at the end of each of his recommendations, he closed by saying, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church." Mm-hmm. And so we just tried to emphasize, Lady Kim, the importance of us, particularly in this season that we're in, not to lose sight of our hearing. Mm-hmm. And how important it is for us not just to hear, but to keep on hearing. Mm-hmm. For that passage says that faith cometh by hearing. Mm-hmm. That means that it continues. It's a continued process mm-hmm. that has to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we need to make sure that we don't get bogged down, if you will, with all of the different things that are trying to vie for our attention and for our hearing. Mm-hmm. And many times we can get caught up in hearing a whole lot of things that have nothing to do with what God is saying.
Amen.
And when the time does come for us to respond in a situation where we're in a crisis or where we need help or where we need God to just come and see about us, as I shared yesterday, what we take in is what's going to come out in that season. Mm-hmm. And so if you haven't been applying spiritual disciplines, don't just get to a place like the resurrection event, the resurrection experience, and then, you know, rest and be at ease. No, we got to continue to study the word. We got to continue to fast and pray, even though we've already had two opportunities as a church this year, and here it is just May, we've had two corporate fasts. Mm-hmm. And I certainly believe that that's part of what has energized and what has set us afire, ablaze, if you will, as it relates to what we're experiencing, even in our worship and our attendance and lives being changed, people coming forth and giving their life to the Lord and being baptized. And even our youngest daughter, Tiara, and we were so proud. She made a commitment on last Sunday after we preached from You Were Created for More, that she just felt God pulling her and letting her know that there was more. Mm-hmm. And so we baptized her on yesterday, rebaptized. And so that was a joy for both of us and delight to see that happen. We didn't even have to force or coerce or anything. And it was, we were both surprised when she came down and decided that that's what she wanted to do.
Amen.
But tell us a little bit about what you heard yesterday, Lady Kim.
Well, you had some significant points. And the first one was listening to God requires that we hear His voice.
Okay.
And when you said that, one of the things I thought about was that in order to hear His voice, we have to be actively listening, like you said.
Okay.
We have to position ourselves
That's
to
right.
hear His voice. Because in this world, we have so many distractions.
That's right.
So much noise coming at us at lightning speed.
That's right.
We're listening to the radio. We're talking at the same time. We got the computer on. We have the TV on. There's always noise. There's crowds of people. But we have to take time to pull away and quiet ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times when we quiet ourselves, that's when we can hear the voice of God.
Okay.
So I admonish each of you to take some quiet time.
That's good.
Pull away. If you just sit in solitude and silence, turn your phone off.
Mm-hmm.
Or put your phone on mute and then leave it in the other room.
Right.
Because you know if it dings, you're going to look at it.
You're going to look at it.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
And so leave your phone, leave everything, turn the TV off, leave your phones and computers and tablets and all that in a different room and quiet yourself. Get in a place and position yourself to hear from God.
Okay.
And then you said listening to God requires that we know His voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't know a person's voice unless we hear it quite often.
Okay.
You know, somebody can call me on the phone, a phone solicitor, and I'll say, you know, well, what do you want? You know,
mm-hmm.
because that voice is not familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of my good friends on here calls, if Dr. John Tunstall calls, I don't have to say,
you
who are
recognize
you?
His
I
voice.
Recognize that voice right away.
That's good.
You know, if Dr. Qualise calls me, I know her voice right away. She doesn't have to say, hey, Lady Kim, this is Dr. Q, or
mm-hmm.
this is Qualise. Why? Because I've talked to her enough.
That's good.
And that we've had enough conversations that I know her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same with God. You know, we have to talk to Him enough and allow Him to speak to
That's
us
it.
Enough
That's it.
That we know His voice. Amen? So we need to listen to God. We need to hear His voice, quiet ourselves, hear His voice. We have to recognize His voice. And then the third one, you said, listening to God requires that we heed His voice. So not only do we have to quiet ourselves and recognize his voice and know his voice, we gotta obey when we do hear his voice.
Okay. You know. Okay.
Because we all have an assignment from God that needs to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things you said.
That's right.
Everybody has an assignment that needs to be fulfilled. And there's no special skill to listening. Wow. You know.
You've been listening pretty good there, Reverend.
Well, you know, I try.
Okay. Are you still listening?
No special skill for listening. You know, you don't need a degree in Listenology 101. The only thing you need to listen is to quiet yourself and listen to God. So, if you can't hear, you know, you said get your ears checked.
Why are you looking at me like that? Because, see, I know that that's...
Huh?
Okay.
What?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I know that's part of a lot of our human, you know, deficiencies when we don't adequately make sure that we get our checkups and that we pay attention to all of our parts and don't wait till something's about to fall off before we decide that we're going to go to the doctor.
Hmm.
And so the older we get, the more we have to pay attention to things and not... I'm the type of person, and you already know that, I much rather find out what it is on the front end and then deal with it and try to make some adjustments. Can you hear me all right? And try to make some adjustments before it gets to a point where it's almost like, you know, you go to the doctor and the doctor said, well, if you had to come in 5 months earlier, 6 months ago, we could have really kind of nipped this in the bud. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be that person on the front end who's doing all of the preventive things that's necessary. And even if it's something, if it's a disease or something or an ailment, I feel more comfortable knowing that I'm catching it early than I am catching it late.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so it is with our hearing. I talked about, and I think my good friend Dr. Tonsa told me about when they have these county fairs across the country, that one of the things that they judge when they're doing the judging for the sheep, they check their ears, you know, and a lot of times people don't look at that part of it, but the judges look behind the ear and to see if there is an infection or if there's something that's wrong with the ear or a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And that disease really kind of sets up an infection and it causes them to be disqualified because they have ear disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is with many of us. We don't get disqualified by man, but we get disqualified by God. Because when we don't live out who we say we are, then it has a lot to do, I believe, with us not listening to what God is saying.
Amen. All right. Mm-hmm. That's good. And then you said that that we have to put our faith into action.
All right.
After we do hear. Mm-hmm. And I like what Dr. Kwali said. She said, you answer differently when you know the voice.
That's right. That's right.
And you do. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's an unfamiliar voice, I have a question in my spirit. First of all, what do you want? Right. Why are you calling me?
Right.
You know, but if you know the voice, you know, most of the time it's a friendly voice and you're welcoming for that voice. So you do answer differently.
Mm-hmm.
When
you know the voice.
When you know the voice.
They have so many spam callers out there now until it's crazy, you know, in terms of people calling and they're trying to sell this, that, and the other. And, you know, when I don't recognize the voice or the number, I really don't want to entertain that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, our success or our failure depends on listening to the voice of God.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times we just do things because we haven't listened or we haven't taken time to consult God even,
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
to spend time listening. A lot of times listening takes us to be still and to be quiet. A lot of times we talk, pray, and get up and run off.
Right.
You know, we haven't taken time to listen for a response from God, but we have to learn how to take time to listen to God for his direction and his instruction.
That's good. That's good. So that was a powerful time in the Lord because, you know, Lady Kim, the enemy, he really wants to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. And oftentimes he wants to take away that which we know is going to be of value to us in terms of moving forward in the things of God. Mm-hmm. And so we need to not allow the enemy to rob us of our hearing of God's voice. Instead, we need to allow our behavior to match our belief in God. Mm-hmm. And so when we do that, it's a clear signal that we're listening to God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, great recap. And any other comments there that you want to share from those?
Dr. Tunstall said, you're a great listener.
Okay. All right. Who is he talking to? You?
He's talking to you. You talk to him more than I do. So
oh, okay.
No,
you was talking when he put that in there.
So. I don't know. Clarify that. Me or him? Who? Or both of us?
Both of us. Okay. But we're in 1 Chronicles 26. Here's a little interesting recap that I found in my study Bible, Lady Kim.
From 1 Chronicles or from what you talked about Sunday?
From 1 Chronicles.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. So we're switching to 1 Chronicles.
Yeah. We finished? Are we finished yet?
Yes.
You had anything else you want
to
share?
No, I was just making sure because I was still stuck on listening to God.
Okay. All right. Uh-huh. Well, he said both of us.
That
who is that?
Pauline.
Dr. Pauline said that? Okay. All right. So, one of the things that I found out here is that David is really preparing himself, and but he's preparing everything and putting it in place for his son.
Mm-hmm.
And as we come toward the end of 1 Chronicles, we'll see how David is establishing what we would call nowadays an organizational chart or a flow chart. I'm saying that
flow.
Flow chart. That's right. And how he has pulled together all of his armies and all of the officers, all of those who would serve in different capacities, and then those who would be overseers, and how God specifically selected him in order that he might be the one who would lead, and how he not only led with his head, but he led with his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And how David now has mastered what author of this particular Bible commentary says, has mastered the three P's of organization.
Hmm.
Planning, mm-hmm. preparation, and personnel.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, planning, preparation,
and personnel.
And so they have really gone through a very critical and intense time here as David is coming to the close of his life, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making sure he's clear that he's not going to be the one to build the temple,
mm-hmm.
but that his son was going to be, Solomon was going to be the one who was going to build the temple. And so David put all of his energies into making sure that Solomon had everything that he needed, that he had a good organizational floor chart. I don't know why I can't say that. Floor chart.
Flow.
Flow.
Flowing.
Flow.
Flow.
Flow. Flow. Yeah, made sure that he had an organizational chart in place.
Leave the flow out.
Know,
it's
right?
A chart, okay?
That's right. And how many times what we see he was doing back then is paramount for us even today.
Mm-hmm.
And the three P's that he mentioned, the planning, the preparation, and the personnel. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that you spend quality time and put in all of the pieces in place in order to be effective. That's where I'm trying to go with that.
Amen. Amen.
And so last week we looked at how all of the musicians were established and set up and in place. And this 26th chapter, and Lady Kim, we're not going to read all of these names and everything tonight.
Okay.
But this part of the 26th chapter really focuses in on the gatekeepers,
uh-huh.
and their responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and how important that was in terms of them serving, because they had a schedule that was 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other thing I saw was that all of the treasures, all of the possessions, all of the gold, all of the things that they had acquired during the time they were in battle. They were in the temple. Mm-hmm. And so they had to have around the clock.
Guards.
Mm-hmm. And so even though I think the modern day ushers get their cue from being doorkeepers in the house of the Lord, it was much different then than what we see now, because mm-hmm. they had a responsibility not just to usher people into the temple and have them seated. They had a responsibility to guard the temple. They're almost like bodyguards mm-hmm. back then. Mm-hmm. Armor bearers.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. And so we kind of lost that a little bit mm-hmm. in the modern day interpretation of doorkeeper.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. So they had to protect the treasures.
That's right. That's right.
The treasures of David.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, have you decided how you want to break this out? Because I think there are about, how many verses there? 31? 32 verses. And a lot of it is just going over the names
of the doorkeepers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. of the gatekeepers.
That's right, gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we can, let's see. It's really no place to kind of, why don't you just read the first, you want to read the first 19 verses? Or that, all of that's got names and everything in it.
But, well, you know what? I'm ready for those names tonight.
All right now.
I think I'm ready.
You think you're ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're in 1 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, verse 1, concerning the divisions of the gatekeepers of the Koranites. Meshelemiah, the king of Kor, of the sons of Asaph, and the sons of Meshelemiah were Zechariah, the firstborn, Jedidiah, the second, Zebedi, the third, Jethaniel, the fourth, Eliam, the fifth, Jerohanan, the sixth, Eliahonai, Eliehonai the seventh. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemini the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joab the third, Sakar the fourth, Nethaniel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Peluthiah the eighth, for God blessed him.
And Lady Kim, you see where Obed-Edom's family is still critically involved in, mm-hmm. in the whole process.
Right.
And this has been going on for quite some time throughout First Chronicles. Mm-hmm. And here we see now his sons
are gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm. And how his house was blessed mm-hmm. when he took in the Ark.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so it's important for us to make sure, as you were reading that, that we don't just, that we're mentors not only to those outside the house, but those in the house. And that they see what we believe in action. You mm-hmm. follow me?
Yes.
And so that when the time does come for them to serve, it won't be foreign to them, and that, you know, you don't need to have people that come to church with you and they never see you expressing in the worship experience your appreciation to God or your giving to God. And I think that has a clear effect on those whom God has called us to be parents and provide oversight for, to see it in action.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be for him when I talked about Lil Carter last week, when it comes time for him to take the lead in the church, he'll understand clearly that giving is very much a part of that. Amen. Because he's being trained and he is just 6 years old.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something interesting. One of my Facebook friends' little nephew was at church mm-hmm. and he had this little toy guitar.
Okay.
And his uncle was leading a choir, and the choir was singing, and this little fella must have been about 3 years old, but he had that guitar, and he was going
to town, and everything was amazing,
and you can tell right now that he has a gift for music, mm-hmm, that God mm-hmm. has blessed him. That boy's going to be an awesome guitar player, even though I didn't hear him play a note, mm-hmm. but his movement and his actions and his sincerity at pretending to play were unreal. And that's how we should be in the house of the Lord,
training up
those young people.
That's right.
Even at an early age, 2 and 3 years old. And, you know, one of our former musicians has a little newborn son,
mm-hmm.
and it gives me great joy to watch him holding the baby in his lap, mm-hmm. and playing the organ or playing the keyboard. You know that child is going to be amazing, a musician.
Yeah. That's right.
And so it is with these gatekeepers,
mm-hmm.
Or these sons of these great men.
That's right. That's right. I think you left off at about verse number
6. At verse 6.
Okay.
It's also to Shemaiah. His sons were sons born who governed their father's house because they were men of great ability. The sons of Shemaiah were Othniel, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad, whose brothers Elihu and Shemaiah were able men. All these were of the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren. Able men with strength for the work, 62 of Obed-Edom.
Isn't that something? That's powerful.
Yes.
Well, I think as you continue to move through that, Lady Kim, you see was that they are identifying the various divisions that mm-hmm. is going to be in charge of being gatekeepers. And all of these families are inclusive in the work, and it's obvious that they have received training long before they got to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us to train our children or train those whom God has given us oversight over before they get to the temple, so it won't be far when it comes time for them to serve.
Right.
Why don't you jump over to verse number 12 and let's pick it up there and see what we have there. Is yours
mm-hmm.
broken out like that?
Yes. I'm in the New King James Version, okay. Verse number 12. Among these were the divisions of the gatekeepers, among the chief men having duties just like their brethren, to serve in the house of the Lord. And they cast lots for each gate, the small as well as the great, according to their father's house. The lot for the east gate fell to Shemaiah. Then they cast lots for his son, Zechariah,
mm-hmm.
a wise counselor, and his lot came out for the north gate, to Obed-Edom, the south gate, and to his sons, the storehouse, to Shupim and Hosea, the lot came out for the west gate, with the Shemaiah gate on the ascending highway, watchmen opposite watchmen. On the east were 6 Levites, on the north 4 each day, on the south 4 each day, and for the storehouse 2 by 2. As for the parbar on the west, there were 4 on the highway and 2 at the parbar. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers among the sons of Korah and among the sons of Merari.
Okay, so we see how they're breaking it out, and they're giving people opportunity to serve at all of the gates around the temple, in the north, the east, the south, and the west, and even those who were Levites, we saw them come into play here as well. And I think you made it clear on last week that, what was that you said about the tribe of Levi in terms of the priest? And
all
Levite, all priests, or out of the tribe of Levi.
Yeah, but all Levites are not priests.
Right, right.
All priests come from the tribe of
That's
Levi.
Right. That's
Levi,
right.
But not all Levites are priests.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so they have other responsibility and obligation, mm-hmm. those who were not priests. But this was the tribe from which the priest came.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're in First Chronicles, the 26th chapter, and we're just kind of moving through as they are going through this organizational chart, if you will, and breaking out into divisions and giving people clear assignments in terms of their responsibility. What are you thinking about?
No, I was listening to you.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you had something else that came into mm-hmm. you, jumped into your spirit. And so the gatekeepers, of course, were critical and crucial. They had different assignment than what we consider today as gatekeepers. Or is that what you refer to the ushers
yes.
as?
Yes. I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord.
Right. And then, of course, we get into the point now where they are giving out responsibility and assignments for those who would be over the treasury and those who would have oversight in terms of other duties in the temple. And what we said earlier, for those of you who just joining, David is coming to the close of his life, and he is making sure now that he has set everything in place for his son Solomon to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that even after David found out he was not going to be the one to build the temple, he could have just pulled back and had an attitude and been selfish, if you will, about the fact that God didn't allow him to build the temple and not invest in his son. But he poured everything, all of his resources, all of the contacts that he had, all of the men. He made sure that he pledged his allegiance openly and privately to his son, even though Solomon was quite young at this time. But he had a cast around him that was well able to nurture him and prepare him for the role that he was going to have going forward.
Amen. And I think as an African-American people, that's where we have failed our children,
mm-hmm.
that we don't train them to carry on the great work that
right.
has begun. We made an interesting observation about some men that were working at our home
mm-hmm.
recently, a couple of Hispanic men, and one is a skilled is a master craftsman,
mm-hmm.
and he has another young man working alongside of him, and he's training that young man, and you can see him or hear him telling him what to do and showing him
That's
what
right.
to do.
That's right.
You know, and so eventually he's going to turn this young man loose, and the young man will be able to be a master or a skillful craftsman just like this young man.
That's right.
And so it is with our young people. We have to train them or give them the skills that they need in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Butler says David knew the importance of leaving a leadership legacy.
Wow, that's
Amen.
Good.
And that
that's
is good. Important, leaving a leadership legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't have to always do the grandiose and grand, but if we teach them what we do know, you know, then they'll be better off.
Start.
They'll be better off in
head
the future.
Start. That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. They'll see the drive and the motivation and the desire and the planning and the skills that's necessary in order to provide leadership on their own. And it may not be the exact same way that we did it or, you know, somebody else, but they'll get a sense of what that's all about when they get a vision of it from those who are going before them.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. So you left off, I believe, at verse number
20.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're moving now into, we're in First Chronicles, the 26th chapter. We're moving now into the area, starting with verse 20 all the way down to 32, of the names and the divisions and how they have set up the treasury and other duties. Do you see a breaking point there? Do you see something that we need to really hone in on during this time? Drop down to verse number 20. Well, you can start at verse number 20 and then drop down to verse 26.
Read 20 and then go to 26?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasuries of the house of God and over the treasuries of the dedicated things.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 26 says, this Shelomith and his brother were over all the treasuries of the dedicated things, which King David and the heads of fathers' houses, the captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the army had dedicated. Some of the spoils won in battles they dedicated to maintain the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer, Saul the son of Kish, Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah had dedicated, every dedicated thing was under the hand of Shelomith and his brethren.
Okay, now drop down to verse number 30, if you can.
Of the Hebronites, Hashbani and his brethren, 1,700 able men had the oversight of Israel on the west side of the Jordan for all the business of the Lord, and in the service of the king among the Hebronites. Jerijah was head of the Hebronites according to the genealogy of the fathers. In the 14th year, the reign of David, they were sought and they were found among them capable men of Jezreel of Gilead. And his brethren were 2,700 able men, heads of fathers' houses, whom King David made officials over the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh for every matter pertaining to God and the affairs of the king.
Okay, so he's really flushing it out and giving a specific assignment over the treasury and other duties as it relates to even the spoils that they had taken in from the battles that they fought. And so we see that how important it is for the structure to be in place, the planning and the preparation to be in place, and then the personnel, those three P's, to be in place in order for, can you imagine how important it was for the kingdom to function in a way where it was flowing as it should?
Amen.
You know. And so, do you have any comments there? Because we're going to jump right into 27. I think we've covered most of what happened in 26.
Mm-hmm. Sister Vendora said the key is to start out young.
That's good.
As we were talking about preparing our young people, we have to prepare them young. You can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you won't. Where you will not go,
uh-huh.
As Dr. Tunstall states. So that's absolutely correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just go ahead and jump into 27. We spent a good deal of time dealing with that, but we see how we'll see this same pattern coming into play here in the 27th chapter. After he secured everything internally, now he's dealing with the military divisions, making sure that the armies and the administrators, if you will, are in place and they understand their assignments.
Amen. And like you said, it's the same pattern.
Mm-hmm. And so there were probably about 12 army divisions that is described here in this particular chapter. And we see how David had assembled Israel to witness his final charge to Solomon, and how David was getting ready now to make sure he turned over the reins to his son in order for him to continue the plans that God had set in motion. So let's drop down to, I think that's in about verse number, if you look at, let's see, what about starting at about verse number, I'm trying to see where we can break that, 16, that talks about verses 16 to 24, it really talks about the population figures were not kept because of God's wrath. And look at verses, the latter verses. How many verses are in there?
I think 28,
20. It's 32, right? 27.
34.
Okay, yeah, you're absolutely right. So let's pick it up at verse 25 and then read down to the end, because what we see here, Lady Kim, they're going through the same process that they did in the previous chapter, and they are aligning the leaders and those who will be in charge to the military divisions, as well as the they call the other one, the administrators, in their responsibility and what they would have to do as related to their position in the kingdom.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Verse 25?
Yeah.
Okay. And Asmavoth, the son of Adiel, was over the king's treasuries. And Jehoiathim, the son of Uzziah, was over the storehouses in the field, in the cities, in the villages, and in the fortress. Ezrai, the son of Shelu, was over those who did the work of the field for tilling the ground. And Shimei, the Ramathite, was over the vineyards. And Zabdi, the Shipmite, was over the produce of the vineyards for the supply of wine. Baal-Hanan, the Gederite, was over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the lowlands. And Joash was over the store of oil. And Shethariah, the Sharonite, was over the herds that fed in Sharon. And Sapa, the son of Adlai, was over the herds that were in the valleys. Obiel, the Ishmaelite, was over the camels. Jedidiah, the Maranarathite, was over the donkeys. And Zaziah, the Hagarite, was over the flocks. All these were the officials over King David's property. Also, Jehothanim, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jethiel, the son of Hakmaniah, was with the king's sons. Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushani, the Archonite, was the king's companion. After Ahithophel was Jehoadiah, the son of Benaiah, then Abathar, the general of the king's army, was Joab. Now you're gonna take me out to dinner for reading all these reading all these names.
They got one in here called Hushanite. That's a good name. Hushanite. But no, what we kind of just went through there to make sure that we understand how important it was for all of these, tribes would have responsibility, and how David is making sure that he flushes it out and gives them specific assignments so that they would know exactly what it was that God had called forth for them to do. And so he's organized the armies as well as the administrators. What do you see there? That's so funny.
No, that Sister Deborah was laughing, sweating because I'm reading all these names.
Did a great job, Reverend. And so when you get,
was it right? I don't know.
So when you get to the latter part of those verses, you'll see where it's almost like it's a royal cabinet that's being right. established, mm-hmm. and how they have specific assignments in order to make sure that everything flows properly.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And what amazes me is everybody had a job and a role to
That's
play.
Right. That's right.
And everybody stayed in their lane.
That's right.
You know, you didn't have the people that were keeping the flocks over there in the vineyards, no. trying to
or
you
at
know,
the gate trying to stop people right. from going in. They were handling their business.
You stay in your lane and do
right.
your job.
That's
and if
right.
you do your job and get good at your job, everything works well, like
That's
a well-oiled machine.
That's
everything
right.
works well.
That's right. All right, somebody said you did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
That's right. Now go back and check it now. You got to check it.
That comes from being a first grade teacher hooked on phonics. You know, you try to sound out all those phonemes and all that
That's
stuff.
That's good.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here, Lady Kim, because
yes.
We talked about the gatekeepers, and if we were ready to kind of try to put some kind of handle on what we could take away from that 26th chapter, here it is right here. We would see that in that 26th chapter.
It mainly talks about the offices of the Levites.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list of various names who were gatekeepers, the treasurers, and the porters, and the servants of the kingdom of Israel with the use of lots.
Okay. And then flip on over to chapter 27 at the end. It kind of gives you a recap there to
mm-hmm.
close that out.
Yes, this chapter deals with the list of the people of Israel, including the heads of families, commanders, and the officers who served the king. Each and every division was composed of 24,000 men.
Okay, 24,000?
24,000 men.
Isn't that powerful?
That's a lot.
Now, Lady Kim, if you want me to take you out to dinner, you know that's not an issue now. You already know that. I asked you yesterday, you had already put together a major situation by the time I got
home. Yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had some of that for lunch today.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
But no, we're certainly grateful for each of you who are on the call tonight. We're getting ready to close out. We want to know if there are any prayer requests that any of you might have. We definitely believe in the power of prayer, and we're grateful for the intercessors mm-hmm. that continually stay on the wall each week, Wednesday and Tuesday morning. And y'all maybe didn't know that we have our Golden Ministry. They're up at 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. each Tuesday. They're interceding and they're praying on behalf of the needs of the church. And then, of course, on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., we have a group that's praying. Mm-hmm. And this group of intercessors is not just limited to those who are at ATOP. You have people from across the country that are on that prayer call as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to fortify the temple with
Amen.
Prayer. And we want to make sure that we continue to seek God's face. We reinstituted prayer before the worship experience.
Amen.
And those of you who haven't noticed it, that's what happens right before we get ready to start the worship experience. People are interceding and praying. They're coming out of Sunday school and they are coming into the sanctuary with an attitude and a mind for prayer. And so I believe that has a whole lot to do with setting the tone and setting the atmosphere
mm-hmm.
for what is going to happen. And I believe God honors that. And so if you want to be a part of either of those, then we can make that happen for you, where you can be a part of the intercessory prayer team. And so we're certainly grateful for all of our intercessors who volunteer to pray and continue to pray around the needs of the church.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. So we do have a few prayer requests.
Okay.
We want to continue to lift up Brother James Shotwell,
mm-hmm.
who is in Regional 1 Medical Center. and he's improving daily. We give God thanks for that. We want to lift up Sister Lurleen Goodlow, who's mm-hmm. in St. Francis Hospital. We want to lift up the daughter of Sister Yolanda Cooper. Her name is Portia Williams.
Okay.
We want to lift Portia up for her healing. And so if there are any others, I don't see any others on the feed right now, but if there are any others, then we will lift them up in prayer as we get ready to end Bible study on tonight. Don't forget that leadership meeting will not take place this Saturday.
That's right.
But it will take place on the following Saturday, May the 13th. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for all of our leaders, ministers, spiritual officers, intercessors. Yes.
Everyone, all of the ministry.
The ministry volunteers as well.
That's right. They need to be present. Yeah.
We'd like you all present
second at Saturday.
The leadership meeting on the second Saturday. And then if you are in a leadership position and you have not completed the Institute for Leadership Training, another training will begin in June. Mm-hmm. So you need to sign up. If you are not in a leadership position, but you would like to be and you want to know all what's involved, then you need to go through the leadership training class also.
That's right.
So please do so. Sister Jessica says continue to pray for her mom, Ada Jones. She's doing well after her oral surgery. So we're going to pray for Sister Ada Jones.
That's great. Amen. So when does the registration open up for the Institute?
I believe it opens up. Dr. Q can put that in there. Sister Angela, Sister Michelle Carter is asking for continued prayers for her sister Angela White.
Okay. Dr. Q, if you have those, when the registration opens up, go ahead and put it in the feed as we prepare to close out tonight. But that information would be it's already open, okay? And you can sign up on the website, through the website, or you have to check with somebody in the office on Sunday, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they have, you can sign up on the website, or you can sign up, see Dr. Qualis, or you can see, the link will be made available weekly in the emails and in the announcements.
Okay. Right.
In the constant contact emails and in the announcements. So make sure you sign up for leadership training if you are leading a ministry.
I was telling Dr. Qualis yesterday, I believe this is going to be even more people involved in this one than we had previously.
Amen.
And so I'm excited. And I don't want anybody to feel intimidated because it's a learning and experience for you, and it'll help kind of guide you in the direction which God is leading you. And we will have a gift assessment a part of that, which really opens the eyes of a lot of people. We have leadership and discipleship and outreach and stewardship. And so it's going to be powerful. And you won't be the same after you have finished that. And we have a lot of leaders who can attest to that even today.
Amen. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm excited about it.
I am too.
Mm-hmm. Good.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, will you close us out with a word of prayer, please?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you, God. We honor you, God. For you alone are worthy to be praised. God, we thank you for allowing us an opportunity to glean from your word tonight the importance of training those who are coming up behind us. Allow us to come alongside of those, oh God, who need our assistance so that we can train them up in the way they should go. God, we thank you for the healing grace and mercy that you're bestowing right now on those who are sick.
Yes, God.
We thank you, oh God, for healing power for James Shotwell.
Thank you, God.
We thank you that you continue to heal Sister Lurleen Goodlow. We thank you, oh God, for continuing to heal Sister Angela White. God, we thank you for a successful surgery for Ada Jones. And God, we pray your healing virtue and power to go forth in Sister Portia Williams. And Lord, we grant your tender grace and mercy to be extended to all those who are bereaved right now, God. We pray that you continue to put your everlasting and loving arms around Brother Bob Johnson and his family, God, in the loss of that mother. We ask that you would continue to look after and take care of all of those who need, oh God, your powerful, loving, and peaceful embrace.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for allowing us, God, the opportunity to do ministry, God. And we pray for our upcoming class of leadership class that's going to take place. We ask that you would watch over and protect us and keep us, oh God, from all hurt, harm, and danger until we meet again for Bible study. We thank you for each participant on this Bible study tonight. And we ask, God, that those who listen to this study in the future will be blessed. We thank you for those who are tuning in from near and from far. Continue, oh God, to keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank God and amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank each of you for being on tonight. And we look forward to what God is going to do the rest of the evening. And,
amen.
And we are eagerly anticipating him allowing us to be a part of what he has planned for tomorrow.
Amen. And for those of you who are interested in leadership training, there is a QR code, a card with a QR code. You can pick it up at church at one of the entrances and scan that QR code, and it'll take you directly to a link to sign up.
That's good. Thank you
all for joining us tonight. God bless you until next time. Bye-bye.
Be blessed.